We now have Timothy Dugan on the line. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Great, great. So I was just playing Burning Down the House by the Talking Heads, and I played the Shantae's Pipeline before that. Of course, it doesn't have anything to do with the actual pipeline, but Burning Down the House is kind of the way some people feel when all of a sudden they don't have part of their property. That might be true. So, Timothy Dugan, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Penny's Pipeline?
Sure. So,
tell us who you are first.
Sure. I'm Timothy Dugan. I'm a shareholder at the law firm of Stark & Stark, and I head up our eminent domain and condemnation group. We represent primarily property owners in defending condemnation actions.
Okay. And how did you get involved with this whole Penny's Pipeline controversy?
Yeah, so I've been assisting HALT, which is Homeowners Against Land Taking, PennEast, and that's a group that organized to fight the pipeline. I've also been working with various action parties throughout the various townships, assisting property owners in understanding the process and if litigation is started to represent individual property owners in the litigation up here in New Jersey, where we expect PennEast either this week or next week to file complaint seeking to exercise the power of eminent domain to take the property rights to install a pipeline.
Now, what was the February 5th deadline? What can you explain to our listeners what that meant?
Sure. So the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is down in Washington and regulates the gas pipelines, issued an order that basically allowed PennEast to proceed forward in using the power of eminent domain in order to construct a pipeline. Once that was issued, PennEast sent out to most property owners a letter giving them a final deadline to accept an offer that most of the time was higher than the appraised value, but set February 5th as a deadline to accept that offer.
And who were these people contacting by February 5th? One individual?
Well, there's a call-in number. So generally what they want you to do is call in and leave a message. And then someone from PennEast or, you know, one of their agents that are negotiating the purchase will get back in touch with you. So if you were to leave your name and your property address, PennEast would then call you back and discuss whether or not you want to accept the offer and potentially negotiate with you.
So basically, this was the deadline to call back and leave your name, but there wasn't an inference that you agreed to a certain amount by just making the phone call. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you could go back and get, you could, when you speak to them, you could either accept it, reject it, or try to negotiate either the scope of the easement, which is what they're permitted to do on your property, or the value that they must pay you.
Okay. But it looks like from looking at a lot of this documentation around the PennEast pipeline, the whole issue constitutionally is that this is for the public good. Is that correct?
Yes, partially. So the federal government has the right to take private property under the United States Constitution and most state constitutions. It's the Fifth Amendment. Under the existing law, the federal government can delegate that authority for certain types of takings, such as, you know, infrastructure, where the under the Natural Gas Act, Congress has allowed private pipeline companies, in essence, to step into the shoes of the government to exercise the right of power of eminent domain in order to build these infrastructure projects.
Now, in terms of the arguments, though, number one, eminent domain is legal under the Constitution. You're saying under the Pennsylvania and New Jersey constitutions and the federal constitution, but the underlying purpose of eminent domain is to take property from individuals for the public good. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. So when the Fifth Amendment uses the word public use, and over time, the United States Supreme Court has watered that down to sort of this public benefit. And it's somewhat controversial, but we do have the existing case law. And if you recall, I don't know how many years ago, 5 or 6, 7 years ago, there was the case that went to the United States Supreme Court up in Connecticut, where Connecticut used the power of eminent domain to take property from private property owners to give it over to a private developer in a redevelopment program. And the United States Supreme Court said that was okay because there is a public benefit from those actions, even though the United States Constitution uses the word public use. So it's a very controversial issue, you know, which is how can a private company that is out to make a profit able to use this really awesome power of eminent domain to take private property to build something where they're going to make money.
And also, is it true that some of this extraction that is going to be going through the pipeline is not necessarily going to benefit the people in those communities?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think at least the majority of my clients believe there's absolutely nothing in this for the state of New Jersey. Nothing. You're not taking gas service and piping it out to rural areas, that there's underground tanks and things like that. That's not really the purpose here. Penn East will argue that there is a benefit, extra capacity, it's going to get shipped throughout the state. But when you really look at the line of this pipeline, it really doesn't appear to be much of anything that benefits New Jersey.
And have you or has anyone actually taken that additional step to make that argument?
Yes, that argument is, so right now there's going to be numerous challenges. First, there are groups that are going to challenge the issuance of the FERC certificate down in Washington. The first step is to ask for rehearing before FERC. One believes the FERC will
change. Can you say what FERC is?
Yeah, so FERC is the Federal Regulatory Energy Commission, and they're down in Washington, and they're the ones that actually have to give the stamp of approval for a pipeline. So Penn East files an application to build a pipeline. Property owners, other groups like the Sierra Club and the Riverkeepers, individuals filed a whole bunch of objections challenging the need for this pipeline and challenging the findings that there's not going to be severe harm to the environment. FERC is supposed to weigh both arguments and make a decision, and FERC did decide that the pipeline is needed and that the mitigation that the pipeline's going to do is not going to adversely affect the environment. Now, clearly, all my clients, as well as a whole bunch of other groups, disagree with that finding and don't think FERC gave everybody a fair shot at the hearing. So there's going to be a challenge down in Washington to ask FERC to reconsider its position, and if it will not, they will appeal that order.
Okay.
While that's going on, we do expect Penn East, nevertheless, to go forward with an eminent domain complaint seeking to take people's property by eminent domain.
But there couldn't be any restraining order issued while they're appealing this ruling?
Well, that's another nice choice part of the Natural Gas Act, is you have to go back to FERC and ask for that stay. And they're the people that just granted approval. So the chances of getting a stay down there are minimum to none. And so that makes it very difficult in trying to stop the eminent domain phase at the beginning of the case. Now, we represent a lot of property owners, and we will be fighting the takings tooth and nail.
Okay. And this original decision was January 19th, 2018, by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, correct?
Correct. And right after that order was entered, all of those letters came out with the February 5th deadline.
Okay. So how should homeowners respond when they're approached by these individuals, the pipeline? What are the homeowners' rights at this point?
At this point, the homeowners can tell the pipeline company to stay off their property. As of now, the pipeline companies have no right to come on their property to do any type of surveying or any type of testing. They need a court order granting them temporary possession to come on their property. So if anyone comes on their property, we've been advising them to call the police if they're a trespasser, report it, take photographs of license plates and people, but immediately call the police and have them handle it like any other trespasser. Once the complaint is filed, the individuals will be sued, and we recommend that they contest the taking, hopefully with a lawyer that is experienced, and try to have that delayed as long as possible, because the other part of this is, in order for them to put a shovel in the ground, they have to get a whole bunch of other permits and approvals, including certain permits from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. And we think they may be a long way off from getting those approvals, if they get them at all. So even if they exercise the right of the power of eminent domain, that doesn't mean they can put a shovel in the ground.
Okay, I have to do a little station identification here quickly. This is WDVR 89.7 Delaware Township, 106.7 Easton, WPNJ 90.5 Easton, 95.9 Mount Bethel Warren Township, Somerset County, W245CC 96.9 Trenton, streaming on WDVRFM.org, and our email is WDVRhost@comcast.net. So I want you to just repeat, if you can, Timothy Dugan, a little bit about how an individual homeowner, when someone comes to their house, will they actually come over and knock on the door, or they're going to bring a shovel over? What are they going to do?
Yeah, that's very interesting, because it's been all over the place of what they've done, tried to do up to date. So if you are being served with a lawsuit, then the process server can come on your property, knock on your door, and hand you the lawsuit that was just filed. And that's a lawsuit that's been filed with the federal district court, and there's a bunch of rules and procedures they have to follow. However, prior to that, they simply cannot come on your property.
So this is after you're served. So otherwise, it's a trespass.
Yes.
Okay. So if someone is just coming on your property and you have not accepted service from... it's going to be from a process server from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission? Who's the process server
from? Usually it would be, yes, usually it's there's generally professional process servers that will come out and serve you with a copy of the summons and complaint. So that they'll be doing that in a professional manner. The real issue is, prior to any type of court order granting anyone the right to come on your property for any surveying or testing, they do not have a right to be on there unless you give them permission.
Okay, so number one is a possible trespass. Number two, if by any means you get a summons and complaint, what might be on that summons?
That would advise you that you're being sued. It would have certain deadlines for you to respond to the complaint. And then in the complaint, it's going to be a description of your property. It'll be a description of what rights they want to take. For example, put a pipeline in the ground, possibly use your property as a staging area to lay pipes, to set up drilling rigs if they're doing underground drilling, all sorts of things. And then that's how they let you know you're being sued. And then it'll give you a time period to answer the complaint. And it may also have a motion or some sort of other pleading that lets you know that Penney's is asking the court to make this case move very quickly so they could get on your property to complete doing surveys and testings, because there is a lot of work they have to do, endangered species, wetlands, all sorts of tests before they could even complete their application to the NJDEP.
Now I think our listeners, probably the word sued is one of those words that's kind of hard to understand. What do you exactly mean?
So what will happen is there'll be a lawsuit where Penn East will be the plaintiff and the property owner will be a defendant. And they're not suing you for money damages or that you did anything wrong. What they're doing is they're filing a complaint naming the property owner as a defendant and asking the court, one, let me come on the property to do whatever surveying, testing I need. Two, give me a court order, which is in essence a court-ordered easement or right-of-way to allow me to put a pipe in the ground, and three, determine what I have to pay the property owner in terms of just compensation. That'll all be laid out in the complaint, somewhat legalese and a lot of technicalities, but that's basically what they're doing. They're suing you to get a court order to grant access, take your property by eminent domain or whatever they need, and then have the court determine what they have to pay you in just compensation. And the reason you're named as a defendant is so you could have an opportunity to come in and object.
Okay. So if you receive a summons and complaint, then it's in your best interest to contact an attorney because you're going to have to respond to this in some way. But let's say you respond to it and say that you disagree.
Right. You could respond and you could object to the taking, but in the eminent domain case, it's very limited of what you could object to in terms of the taking. So, for example, if you said the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, made a bad decision, you don't make that into the eminent domain. You go down to Washington and challenge the FERC certificate. If you were to not want DEP, New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, to issue a permit, you know, you would want to write to the DEP in the comment time period or write to your local assemblyman or senator letting them know you're against it. But those are separate from the actual eminent domain case. So you do need to, within that lawsuit, follow the court rules in order to make a proper objection.
Okay, so you have the eminent domain case, which is basically getting this summons and complaint, and they're saying that they want to be able to get on your property, get this easement, and start to work. But in terms of this challenging the certificate, that's one thing. But with the New Jersey Environmental, what did you call it?
The New Jersey Environmental Protection. It's the NJDEP.
Okay, what do you do in regard to that?
So under the Natural Gas Act, there's the Clean Water Act, and the states get to administer the Clean Water Act. And in order to put a shovel in the ground, the PennEast needs what's called a 401 water quality certification from New Jersey DEP. And what that means is that this project will not have an adverse impact on the quality of the water in the state of New Jersey. And there's other requirements they need from the Delaware River Basin Commission. There's a whole bunch of permits and authorities. But for New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, they have to complete an application and answer all the questions of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. And if they don't, they won't get the permit, and that's exactly what just happened last year up in New York State on a pipeline. The pipeline company and the Constitution Pipeline did not answer all the questions and have a complete application before the New York Department of Environmental Protection, and they denied the certification, which means the pipeline cannot put a shovel in the ground. The pipeline company took that up on appeal and lost the appeal. So as of now, that pipeline cannot go forward because they can't put a shovel in the ground. So there's a high likelihood that New Jersey, with all the different permits that they have, that the pipeline company, even if they get the authority to take property by the power of eminent domain, can never put a shovel in the ground.
Well, what does an individual do to make sure that it moves forward in terms of the environmental impact issues?
Well, the environmental impact issues, you're going to have to follow the process when the application's filed with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. Oftentimes, there's a time period where the public's allowed to go on and file objections to the issuance of the certificate. Right now, there are a lot of environmental groups that monitor it closely. For example, the Sierra Club, they monitor this closely. There's a whole bunch of other groups that are out there.
Is it Earth Justice? Is that right? Earth Justice? Is it called Earth Justice?
Well, there's a whole bunch of organizations out there that will monitor, you know, various environmental projects that they believe have an adverse impact on the environment. You have the Watershed, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. You have, you know, the Sierra Club, HALT, the organization against the pipeline. They are monitoring this process very, very closely. They've been in touch with many of our state legislatures, letting them know about their concerns. And the new governor, Governor Murphy, has come out and said he's against the pipeline. So, you know, what people are doing is just making sure they support the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection to just do their job and make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted, and that this is an absolutely complete application, and making sure it's thoroughly reviewed and making sure there's no adverse impact on our water quality. So I think from the individual point of view, it's, you know, going to meetings, getting involved with these organizations, letting the Department of Environmental Protection know you're against it with specifics. A lot of these organizations will help you, for example, HALT and some of the other groups, help you draft letters and help you understand the process. And these are wonderful organizations to join. They have educational meetings to make sure the public understands what they can do to try to be effective.
Okay, so folks, look on the internet or figure out where the Sierra Club is, and Earth Justice, and you said HALT?
Yes, Homeowners Against Land Taking, and they have a wonderful website. They're very active. What's very impressive about the opposition to this pipeline is how organized these local municipalities are. They've been forming committees that didn't just put signs in the ground, but really stuck with it, did fundraising to be able to mount opposition, to put, you know, political pressure on everybody, make sure the word got out that this is not a good pipeline for New Jersey. A lot of our legislatures, you know, Kit Bateman's been outstanding on this in terms of supporting the property owners and really coming to meetings and listening and understanding the issues. And I think it's wonderful. And there's been staying power with these organizations. Sometimes people will go to a demonstration, put some signs in the ground, and then cross their fingers. Here, these people are in it for the long run. They've committed to it financially. They've committed to it with manpower and really believe this is not good for the environment.
And how about Pennsylvania? It sounds like you're discussing New Jersey, but what groups in Pennsylvania have also been covering this since it's going to go through Luzerne, Carbon, Northampton, and Bucks County?
Yeah, they've had, I'm not sure the exact names over there. I know, you know, Pennsylvania might be considered a little more energy friendly, than New Jersey. I
don't think he is.
You know, and it's one of the problems with the Constitution where there was a maple farm. Where a bunch of trees were taken down in Pennsylvania, but then when they reached New York, they had to stop because they didn't have the certifications. And I think that was problematic, very problematic for the property owner, in terms of one state, granting additional approvals and another state not granting them when you have a pipeline that crosses state lines. So I'm not aware of the exact names of the organizations in Pennsylvania, but I'm sure there are. People that have organized in those areas to be against it, either through the municipalities or just through private organizations.
And you could probably look up the Sierra Club folks in Pennsylvania. And also there was a big article in the Bucks County Herald recently talking about the pipeline. That was in the January 25th issue of the Bucks County Herald and discussing a lot of the details, which is very helpful. So you are an attorney, so you're representing some of the individuals who are fighting this. Is that right?
Yes, we have a large number of individuals, property owners, farms, preserve farms, homeowners, individual homeowners that are opposing the pipeline. Many of these farms, it's unfortunate, you know, private and public money has been used to preserve them, to keep them in a pristine condition. Now the pipeline wants to go directly through these preserved farms, wants to go through preserved streams, wetlands areas. So when you go through a very rural area, there's a lot of harm. You're not going along sides of roads and right-of-ways. You're blasting right through farms that the government's already paid and private people have paid substantial monies to preserve. And it's unfortunate. Oftentimes, a lot of trees come down. There's drenching. There's the potential of a pipe leaking. So there's a lot of potential harm here that really questions, you know, why do we need this pipeline if there's this much risk to the environment?
And I would think in some of the other cases, you could look at how these pipelines have impacted the land. How about around Standing Rock Reservation, the Sioux Reservation in North Dakota? Didn't that recently break?
Well, you do have. I mean, you have, for example, in New Jersey, we have had gas explosions in Edison. We had one down down here in Ewing for a variety of reasons. Doesn't mean that you know, the pipelines aren't being built well, but you do have this potential of an explosion. You do have the potential of a break. You do have the potential of leakage of the gas through a well-built pipe system. And you also have the environmental concerns when you do underground drilling. So if you're going to drill under wetlands, you still need lubricants that are chemicals for the drill bits. And can that get into the water system? There's going to be blasting to be able to build this pipeline. And those vibrations, there's a big concern that those vibrations will release additional arsenic into the water supply because we have arsenic, you know, in the ground. And these are all potential problems in these rural areas when you have a well and you have a septic system. How is the construction, the building, the vibrations going to impact the water supply that they use for drinking water? And these are all concerns that a lot of the environmental groups are looking at right now in order to challenge FERC's findings.
And I'm not going to throw in fracking here, but I know that there are individuals, too, that not only have a pipeline or somebody that is having their land fracked. I mean, how does that affect your real estate value as well as your own individual your health? They're both issues.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. You know, I have a client that's been trying to sell their home, a husband and wife, and they say, you know, and when they go through the process, they are disclosing that the pipeline's coming through. And as a direct result of that, they have not been able to sell their home. They believe that just the pure announcement of a pipeline coming through their neighborhood is scaring buyers away.
Well, I would think so. When I knew I was going to be talking to you today, I know something about this issue, but I started researching it, and it was interesting to find the different types of articles that are on the internet. One of them was like, sell your house as fast as you can. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. This big scare. And then I also ran into this newsletter called the Marcellus Drilling News, and you pay $59 a year, and it's called Helping People and Businesses Profit from Northeast Shale Drilling. But their article on February 5th of this year, which is today, says Penny's Pipe forced to do it the hard way using eminent domain. Have you seen this Marcellus Drilling News?
Yeah, I have seen it, and it's, you know, it's a pro, you know, pipeline type of periodical, and you know, there's nothing wrong with the pipeline coming out and making its position. I mean, the pipeline or businesses, I've met numerous people that work for them. I think they're professional and they're fine people making a living, but that doesn't mean that every single pipeline that these pipeline companies present to the federal Energy Regulatory Commission should be approved. It would be nice if FERC would occasionally deny a pipeline, but they're not. So I think they believe that these are all wonderful pipelines. Clean, you know, gas is, you know, natural gas is a clean energy, and it may be cleaner than other things. Doesn't mean it's clean. And there's big policy, you know, issues here. You know, is this in encouraging us to move towards renewables or not? What's the overall greenhouse effect of this entire pipeline? And I do think that the pipeline companies believe this is wonderful, and they're more than, you know, this is America. They can get their viewpoint out. But on behalf of the property owners, this is far from being done, regardless of what they say. They have their FERC order. No one's surprised that was issued, but they have a long way to go with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection.
And I know from what I read, too, about you, you're a partner in Stark & Stark, but you also live around here, right? You're resident of Hunterdon County, and you work in Mercer and Hunterdon, and you've lived around here for about 20 years, right?
Yes, and I two blocks from the Delaware River. My children, I have three daughters. We're out in the river almost every weekend. It's great. We're out, you know, tubing and swimming. It's a wonderful area. You can hike out in the area. And many of these infrastructure projects are good. Yeah, there are natural gas pipelines for certain parts of the country that are needed and are going through areas where there's not big environmental problems. In this one, we absolutely believe it's not needed. And there's detrimental harm. And when you're going under the Delaware River, there's a whole bunch of preserved farms and streams and wetlands that need to be protected that we all hike, we bike, we use the Delaware River. It's really problematic.
Yeah, and I just have to note this, and looking at this Marcellus drilling news, it just seems like a very cynical approach towards people that are really concerned about what's going to happen in their community. So, quote unquote, on Friday, a group of holdout landowners symbolically tore up their Penny's lease offers in a vain media stunt. Starting later this week, they will receive something via certified mail. They better not tear up a court summons for an eminent domain proceeding. It's a shame when it has come to that, but denial is a strong emotion. Now it's off to court they'll go, where they'll get a splash of reality. This is in the newsletter.
Right, and that's, you know, it's very unfortunate because, you know, caught up in this whole thing oftentimes is people forget. The power of eminent domain is an awesome power of the United States, one of the most intrusive. So, you know, if someone comes into your home, very intrusive, here the government, against your will, is not only taking your property, but putting a pipeline with high-pressured gas in it. And I'm not sure that, you know, the author of that article really appreciates how scary that is for a property owner, how intrusive it is for a property owner to say, it's not the government building a school. It's not the government putting in a new bridge we're all going to use. It's a private company taking my property to make some money. And that's very intrusive and really hard for people to stomach. So to say, gee, you're unreasonable, or gee, you're a holdout, when you're saying, I don't think this is right. I don't think this is good for the environment. I don't think this is a proper use of eminent domain. Why shouldn't you be able to fight all those battles?
Well, I really appreciate the work that you're doing. And can folks, why don't you state your name, how people can get a hold of you, and tell a little bit about what you're basically doing in terms of providing representation for people.
Sure. And my name is Timothy Dugan, D-U-G-G-A-N, and I am a shareholder at the law firm of Stark & Stark. You can contact me through our website, stark-stark.com, or reach me at 609-896-9060, and we'll be representing individual property owners in the eminent domain cases. We could accept service of the complaint. We'll be working with other lawyers to present as many defenses as possible. And if for some reason the court does allow the takings to go forward, we'll be fighting with Penny's with what they have to pay you to acquire the property rights. We believe most of the offers are very low and have not taken into account the damage that to the property that you retain, and we'll be doing our best to retain our own experts in the hopes of getting additional just compensation. But we will be contesting the pipeline in the eminent domain cases in New Jersey. We're not going down to Washington. We support those people, and they'll contribute to the various organizations that are fighting, and we most certainly will be keeping our eye on the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, that we have tremendous confidence that they're going to do a great job in reviewing the application and giving both sides a fair shot. Penny, under the law, is entitled to come forward and file a complete application. And the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection is absolutely entitled to give that strict scrutiny. And whatever happens down there will happen. But I think, you know, Penn East has an uphill battle to get a shovel in the ground.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for what you're doing. And I know that the folks at HALT and Sierra Club and Earth Justice are working very hard in this, too. And I think it was very revealing in discussing the whole issue of trespass. And if somebody just comes on your property and they really don't have permission to do so, that you can call the police, and then people need to keep their eyes out for any summons and complaint and seek legal representation if they feel that they need to do so, and to stay in touch with the Sierra Club and some other organizations as to what's going on in terms of the environmental impact. Are there any last thoughts before we wrap up today on Let's Talk?
No, I just wish, you know, thank you for the opportunity to enable us to reach out to you know, your listeners, and hope that they will join the fight.
Well, thank you very much, Timothy Dugan. Okay, so thanks for being on Let's Talk, and I am going to be interviewing, let's see, Eileen Kirby in just a moment with Tabby's Place. So thanks a lot, Timothy, and thanks for being on Let's Talk today.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.